From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we'll hear another message in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, a series preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Plentiful Refreshment. The text is Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 12. Their soul shall be as a watered garden. Oh, to have one's soul under heavenly cultivation, no longer a wilderness, but a garden of the Lord, enclosed from the waste, walled around by grace, planted by instruction, visited by love, weeded by heavenly discipline, and guarded by divine power, one's favored soul is prepared to yield fruit unto the Lord. But a garden may become parched for want of water, and then all its herbs decline and are ready to die. O my soul, how soon will this be the case were the Lord to leave thee? In the east, a garden without water soon ceases to be a garden at all. Nothing can come to perfection, grow, or even live. When irrigation is kept up, the result is charming. Oh, to have one's soul watered by the Holy Spirit uniformly, every part of the garden having its own stream. Plentifully, a sufficient refreshment coming to every tree and herb, however thirsty by nature it may be. Continually, each hour bringing not only its heat, but its refreshment. Wisely, each plant receiving just what it needs. In a garden, you can see by the verdure where the water flows, and you can soon perceive when the Spirit of God comes. O Lord, water me this day, and cause me to yield thee a full reward for Jesus' sake. Amen. In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. On this edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, "Christ Taking Galilee by Storm Through the Power of the Holy Spirit," part of this series of studies in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The principal text is Luke chapter 4, verse 14. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about." Having departed from Judea, Christ came into the despised region of Galilee, and there he demonstrated his mighty power in dealing with the grip Satan had on the lives of the people. There are a number of important lessons regarding serving Christ here. The first is the message. It is the gospel of the kingdom, of which Christ is the king, wielding his power against the forces of spiritual darkness. Now Dr. Cairns introduces this message, "Christ Taking Galilee by Storm Through the Power of the Holy Spirit."
We're turning in God's Word this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, reading verses 23 through 25. And then if you would turn over to Luke chapter 4, we'll read verses 14 and 15. With both passages open, we'll read these together. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and beyond Jordan. Luke 4, verses 14 and 15. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to this reading from his word for his name's sake. All that we have read this morning forms the text, but I suppose Luke 4, 14, the first part of the verse, sums it all up. Jesus returned, that is, returned from Judea. He returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. This marks the beginning of our Lord's great Galilean ministry, a ministry that took up quite a part of his earthly time serving among the Jews. You remember that his baptism and his temptation took place in Judea. And since the healing of the nobleman's son was something more of a private miracle than a public one, we could say that this text marks the first public exercise in Galilee of the mighty power of the Holy Ghost with which the Lord Jesus was anointed at his baptism. And we can at once see why Satan was so prompt to challenge Christ in the wilderness of temptation after that baptism, after he was anointed and filled with the Holy Ghost. You can see why Satan came with all his forces and with all his fury to see if he could ruin this ministry at its very commencement, really, before it would get underway. Satan understood what was at stake for him. And here we can begin to appreciate, as we read these verses together, we can begin to appreciate the invincible power of the Savior with which he confronted all the devil's dominion over the bodies and over the souls of men. These opening scenes of Christ's great Galilean ministry contain the promise. Indeed, more than the promise, they contain the assurance of his final victory. The powers and kingdom of darkness felt the weight of every word and of every deed of the Lord Jesus Christ as once and again he made Satan taste defeat in lives that he had ruled with dark and despotic and damning power. What I want you to think of today as we read these verses and consider them very simply is that as the King of Grace, our Lord Jesus Christ invaded the strongholds of Satan. He engaged the devil's most powerful forces, and he triumphed gloriously over them. And that triumph is witnessed in the changed lives of all the people whom he touched. So, quite simply, today we're going to be dealing with Christ taking Galilee by storm, by the power of the Holy Ghost. And as the Lord Jesus is set before us here, there are certain things that stand out that I think we should pay some attention to. And not only for historical purposes, to see what happened then, but for our own good today, to see what it is we need today if we're going to enjoy the victorious power of Christ in the ministry of his word. And also that we may be able to get our eyes on him. Remember what I keep on emphasizing, that as we live our lives in this world with all the trials and all the troubles, with all the attacks of the world and the flesh, yes, and of the devil, for let us not lose sight of this, Satan is a real personage, the forces of hell are real forces, and though it is now something of a joke to talk about Satan and what he does, every person who is insistent in doing the will of God, who is earnest about serving Christ, finds out that the forces of hell are dark and real and terrible. And if we are going to face those forces, it will not be by strength of will, it will not be by strength of character, it will not be by our education or by our talents, it will be by the clarity of our sight of Christ and our understanding of his person and of his work. The Christ who saves from sin, death, Satan, and hell is the Christ who keeps us from sin and death and Satan and hell and gives us victory at every stage of life. And so it's important for us then to mark the things that stand out in the text concerning Christ taking Galilee by storm. The first thing that stands out, obviously, is the message. The Lord Jesus, we are told in Matthew chapter 4, came or went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That was his message. Now, it's very easy to read that, but that is a huge, huge subject. And I have time only to deal with one aspect this morning. If you have a long memory, 2 months ago when I last dealt with a study in the life of Christ, probably the message before the last, I did some study on the subject of the kingdom. It's been so long ago, I think I'll have to refresh some memories, and maybe including my own. But since we've dealt with it then, I'm not going to deal with all that again. But simply let me say that there is a lot of misinformation on the subject. Larkin's book on the dispensations. Somebody sent me a copy. They thought I didn't know enough about Larkin's extreme dispensationalism. I already had a copy and had already had a good laugh, so I didn't need a second go, but I'd already had a copy. I still have my Scofield Bible, where I've read it there as well. I've often said that my favorite study Bible is a study Bible edited by one of the strongest dispensationalists England ever produced. Makes Scofield seem a moderate. And so I'm very well aware of what they say about the gospel of the kingdom. This is not one of 7 different gospels. Let me make that very clear to you. This is not a way of salvation distinct from the gospel of the grace of God. Anybody who has ever read Acts chapter 20 has to see that in plain black and white, and the absolutely certain testimony of the apostle where he equates the two. This is not another way of salvation. This is not a gospel for a different dispensation. This is an aspect of the one true everlasting gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. What is it? As the Lord Jesus went about Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom, we must understand that he was preaching the good news that the long promised kingdom had at last arrived. Now, to the Jews, that was staggering and exciting information. Unfortunately, they interpreted it in one sense only, and like most people, they got it all wrong. The Lord Jesus, interestingly, termed this gospel of the kingdom the gospel of the kingdom of what? Of heaven and the kingdom of God. This kingdom is called the kingdom of heaven. I think that may well describe its nature. It stands distinct from all the kingdoms of the world. And yet its sphere is here on this earth. And by using this description, the kingdom of heaven, this heavenly kingdom operating in the sphere of earth, the Lord Jesus Christ clearly states that his kingdom, if I may borrow the words of Patrick Fairburn, with whom I don't really entirely agree, in other places, but I think this is a beautiful statement, that his kingdom is set in opposition to all the empire of evil, the dominion of sin in the individual and the race. When the Lord Jesus went about preaching the kingdom, it was the kingdom of heaven, the rule of heaven in the hearts of men. And he's saying, I am setting up a kingdom in the hearts of men that is opposed to all the empire of evil, all the dominion of sin. This is the kingdom of heaven. Good news indeed. Isn't that still good news for people who are slaves of passion, lust, and pride? For people who are the plaything of Satan? For people whose lives are wrecked and ruined, and there is no hope for them in self, and there's no hope for them in religion, and there's no hope for them in philosophy, and there's no hope for them in the world. Man, you can come and you can tell them the gospel of Christ the King. He is able to subdue us and our iniquities, and he's able to set up his throne in the heart of the most debauched and the most depraved, conquering the power of sin and of evil and the dominion of the devil. Bless God, there's power in the blood to set sinners free. There's power with Christ to make men new creatures. There's power with this King of grace that takes the most broken life and puts it together, takes the most debauched life and makes it clean, takes the most devil-possessed life and makes it free. May I want to tell you, that's the gospel of the kingdom. And it's still worth preaching. And I tell it to you today, not as a matter merely of information, but as a matter of conviction. And if you're here defeated by sin, and almost to the point of being eternally damned by sin, and you wonder, is there no hope, is there no help? Then I tell you, there is both hope and help, because Christ came preaching the gospel of his sovereign power over sin. That is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. But the Lord Jesus called his kingdom also the kingdom of God. And that speaks more of its source. It's of God as distinct as those kingdoms that come from man and from Satan. This kingdom is the kingdom of God because it comes from God. It is established by God. You'll see how restrained I'm being this morning. I'm being very restrained. Every one of these is a major theological statement. And you could take a lot of time. This kingdom comes from God. Not from church activity. Not from some do-gooder campaign. It comes from God. It's established by God. The church in the 19th century was completely blown off course as it bought into the notion that it could bring about the kingdom of God by its own social enterprises. And it was a disaster, both for the world and for the church. It is sustained by God. Oh, let's get that. Here's the victory. While there's a difference between the church and the kingdom that I'm not going to go into this morning yet, for the purpose of this statement, we can make them synonymous. And if you think I'm stretching my theology there, think again, I'm not. But this sustained by God. Jesus said of his church, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? Because Christ is sustaining it.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.